Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, the NHL All-Star Skills Challenge will take place. Sabre center Jack Eichel will participate in the fastest skater competition in his third appearance at the NHL All-Star Weekend. Eichel will play with the Atlantic Division tomorrow at 8:15 p.m. against the Metro Division. New this year at the 2020 Honda All-Star Game, there will be an elite women's 3-on-3 event with the American All-Stars facing off against the Canadian All-Stars tonight at 9:30 p.m. Hockey Hall of Famers Cammy Granato, she's American coach, and Jaina Heffer, the Canadian, she'll be the coach for the Canadian side. I will tell you this, that will be a heated event. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 today with guest Bills reporter Maddie Glab, Steve Tasker. They'll be joined by NFL Films' Greg Cosell and founder and director of Accelerate Performance Enhancement Center, Bobby Stroop. The 2020 NFL Pro Bowl takes place this Sunday at 3 p.m. on ESPN, where the NFC and AFC will face off. The Bills are represented by three Pro Bowlers this year: cornerback Tre'Davious White, linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, and wide receiver Andre Roberts. Antonio Brown turned himself into Broward County Jail last night in response to an arrest warrant filed against him on three charges. Brown was granted bail on a $100,000 bond this morning for felony burglary with battery charge, with a total bond for the three charges being $110,000. He will also be required to be monitored by GPS, release his passport and guns, go through drug and alcohol testing, and get mental health evaluation. American Coco Gauff became the youngest player in professional era to eliminate the reigning women's champion at the Australian Open, beating former number one Naomi Osaka 6-3, 6-4 in the third round at Melbourne Park today. That's your sports update for today. Diss or Dak coming up. Darren Dreger at 11:30 on the Instigators. Today's National Day. In 1935, the first canned beer goes on sale. So it's Beer Can Appreciation Day. So Riff, that's for you. And it's National Compliment Day. And it's National Peanut Butter Day. But National, so the two that were, you know.
I love your shirt, Petey.
What's that, ADD?
No, that is National Compliment Day.
Oh, Riv, you really know how to crush a beer. That's my compliment.
I love it. Love it. Anyway. National Compliment Day.
Who taught, did you guys ever learn to press down on the beer can just underneath the mouth so it filtered out of the beer can easier and into your mouth? Did
No.
you ever hear that? I played with someone that taught me that, like, you
understand that.
You create a little dent underneath
that
so
given?
That it.
Isn't what a given? That you create.
Take your thumb and press that so it funnels.
It might have been you
throat.
That taught me that then. Do you do that with beer cans?
I would not drink a beer can without doing that.
I did not know about this. That's where I learned it. It had to have been you because I'd never done it really. And then.
The beer doesn't go down your throat.
The same way?
The same way. You press a little, make that little indent right under, yep. And just it funnels
right
down.
Do you do that with a can of pop?
Yes, I would.
So it's automatic. You grab a can, pop.
Yes, right finger.
It's like, you know, when I played juniors, and people are, I have to understand, in Quebec, drinking age is 18. So you're 18, 19, 20, and you know... You're going on a Wednesday evening after practice and you go with the boys and maybe you're going to go to the little pub, a tavern and whatever. And we used to go to this place where it was literally like a dollar draft beers, right? But it wasn't great beer. So the old timers that were there that hang out at the bar every day just put salt in their beer and then they would drink it that way because it got to be really smooth. And we started doing that a little bit. And then it became where you would do salt on any beer, and then you realize, whoa, I'm ruining the beer. Because a bad draft beer at a bad pub that's costing $1 is one thing, but a good beer, you don't want to put
draft,
salt on it.
Dollar draft, little salt, hit the table first, and a little shake, two shakes.
See, he played in Montreal. He knows.
Those dollar drafts were disgusting.
They were bad.
Terrible.
They were awful.
They were like leftover beer from the
night
before.
That's why they were so bad, you had to drink them quicker and hope that the next one was better.
And you just, worst hangovers ever with that crap.
Okay. Yeah. As we go in, I have a good question for you guys in the this or that. Well, so why don't we roll it?
We will roll. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Because it's the next thing I want to ask you about beer.
Well, it is about beer, my first
The most
one,
disgusting thing I've ever heard. So have you ever heard a theory about how to get the foam to go down faster on your beer? Tom Askey, I believe, taught me this.
Suck it up and spit it out.
Now you did something with your finger, so you run your finger around the outside?
If it's not Tom Askey, I'm really sorry, but somebody taught me this, and I've never tried it, but they said you take your finger and you wipe your nose grease,
yeah,
and you put it in your beer, and it takes all the foam away.
Well, it makes sense, because so my family, my mom's uncles used to do
you
maple
syrup.
No.
You think I gag? That's no. Making me...
My mom's
and did you
uncles
do it?
Oh, used God, to... Riffs, you've gone to maple shacks, right? Like when they make the maple syrup? And so have you
yeah,
been?
Well,
when
yeah,
you were
when
a
kid? I was a kid, yep.
So, you know, you got the different bins, right? It starts with the water from the trees, yep, and then it boils into something. And at one point, it foams up a lot. So what they would do is they would put a cube of grease on both side of the pan or something. So when the foam would get up to the grease, instead of overflowing, it stops it and then makes it go down again. So that makes sense, Petey, that with a little grease from your skin or oil,
it
makes the foam.
I'd rather have 9/10 of my beer be foam.
But I can see how that happens. I can see how the science behind it makes it work. So
okay, we'll get going. We got 19, 18, 17 minutes.
Well, yeah, we can't be late for Darren Dreger today. But, okay, so let's run the intro. Let's run the music here. And the first this or that, I just thinking of it. When you go to a pub or a tavern, what is the best way to do it? Order just a glass of bad draft beer or a pitcher, a big pitcher or draft beer and pass it around? This or that? Just your own single one or share a pitcher with the group? It's the same bad beer, but what's
we've
better
all
to do?
Done it.
How
we've
many
all,
people are we
this
sharing the pitcher with?
Let's see, like, there's the three of us. And, well, PD, you don't drink anymore.
Yeah, but I used to love going out for pitchers of beer with my buddies. Okay. Are you kidding me?
So
it was awesome.
is it like we, hey, bring six glass so we all have a couple
why
in front of us?
Or
just
two pitchers?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This or that.
Definitely
the single
pitcher
glass or the pitchers?
I think you're definitely doing pitcher.
Remember when the pitchers first came to your table?
Yeah, but the pitchers are
like
warm
oh, yeah,
after a little bit.
Couldn't wait. What?
Don't they get warm after a little bit? Are you drinking warm beer after 15 minutes?
Depends. How slow are you drinking, yeah, Marty?
Okay, well, that could be my issue.
Are you sipping your beer, Marty?
You have a straw for your drink, Marty?
I have too much foam, and I'm not using the oil from my nose to put it down. So anyway, okay, well, let's go into the real this or that here. It's All-Star Weekend. They've got captains for every All-Star team going on right now. So obviously, Brett Hall is the captain for the Central Division. Wayne Gretzky is the captain for the Pacific Division. But I'm going to ask you this. For the Atlantic and the Metropolitan Division, which one is the better captain? You got John Hamm, who is Don Draper from Mad Men, or Jenna Fischer, who is Pam from The Office. They're both obviously big, St. Louis sports fan, and so I'm asking you this. Don Draper or Pam, better captain for the for a team at the All-Star game? Rives doesn't know who John Hamm and
yes,
Jenna
I
Fischer
do
are.
I know who both of them are. Pam, obviously Pam. Jenna Fischer is
last year
the
there was
office
a big fight between Pam and Jim because Jim's a Boston Bruins fan and Pam is a St. Louis fan, and they went back and forth in the finals.
Yep.
But now both John Hamm and Jenna Fischer are cheering for the same team. So which one is the better captain, Don Draper or Pam?
I'm going to go with Jenna Fischer.
Like, if you're in the room, which one do you want to walk in the room and give you a speech? Don Draper or Pam?
Pam.
I want Don Draper. He was a heck of a salesman. He probably walked in with a glass of scotch and the cigarette in his mouth because that's the way they did business in the 50s, and would have the best sales pitch to make you go out and win $1 million.
Yeah, Jenna Fischer is easier on the eyes, so okay. I'm going with Jenna.
Okay, well, you guys both go with Pam because She was able to sell a lot of paper at the Michael Scott Paper Company. Yeah. She was really good.
I'm a big John Hamm fan, though. Can I just say that?
He's awesome.
I'm jealous of his looks.
Have you seen... Okay.
He's a good-looking guy.
Have you seen the movie Bridesmaid?
No chance. Thank you, though.
Petey,
I love you, buddy.
Have you seen the movie Bridesmaid?
No.
You've never seen the movie Bridesmaid?
No, but he was in Clear History.
I don't care about Clear History. He's got the weirdest, creepiest character in Bridesmaid. He's the boyfriend with the Porsche that comes and picks her up on the side of the road or whatnot. But he's so good and so funny in that role. You don't see him a lot. It's not about him. But I saw him the other day. I'm like, that's John Hamm. And man, is he like a good actor? But anyway, right. That was one. Okay, let's talk about a little bit of the league stuff here. So Mark Lazarus, who writes for, let me get it properly, he writes for The Athletic. He's a senior writer at The Athletic. He asked the other day, should goals that are scored on delayed penalty be nullified, the delayed penalty, or should you be able to still get a power play? So, you know, college hockey does that. Delayed penalty, arm goes up in the air. Goalie goes to the bench. You play 6-on-5, you score a goal. In the NHL, no penalty. The penalty is nullified. In college hockey, you still have to serve the 2 minutes even though the team scored on the delayed penalty because technically it's an even strength goal. So Mark Lazarus asks, delayed penalties should be nullified if other team scores. Discuss. This or that.
How many teams score on a delayed penalty?
Not
I bet
lot.
You there's three in the entire year.
No, there's more than that. The Sabres probably scored once or twice already this year like that.
Really?
Take that, Riff.
No way. Anyway.
just wins the argument. No way.
I'm definitely going to go with if you score on that delayed penalty, that team should still have a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that a lot.
Agree.
Okay, how about I'll push it one step further on the penalties.
If someone has the analytics for that or
the stats?
The stats for that, I'd like to know how many goals have been scored this year on a delayed penalty.
Okay. I will...
So if someone has that information, that'd be amazing.
Well, I don't know that I can find it in the next 30 seconds, but I'll ask you this. Would you be in favor, this or that, or of keeping the rule that if you score on a 2-minute power play, the penalty expires, you know, guy comes out of the box, or like a 5-minute major, you take a 2-minute penalty, you serve the full 2 minutes regardless of how many goals you score, this or that, keeping the rule that way or changing it for a full 2 minutes?
As an athlete in the game, no. But for somebody that's begging for more goals, yes.
What
depends on who you – I mean, honestly.
For you.
For me? Well, I think we know I'm not an athlete in the game anymore, so I'm in favor of more goals. So keep the guy in the box.
No, man. I think you go to the box, you feel shame. If your team scores, you got the walk of shame across. Goal up. Let's start playing hockey again.
I don't know that it would add that many goals because, you know, a power play is already clicking in at what, an average of 17, 18, 19% in the National Hockey League. And,
you might get some teams that really press harder in the first minute so that they have that second minute. So it's not like,
score in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, where it's like, hey, we have the whole 2 minutes, if we score. But otherwise, you might get a little harder press.
You're down a goal. The other team takes a penalty with a minute and a half left. You're like, we could score two. We're not just going to go for one and tie it. We could score two and win.
Absolutely.
And I think it would change the dynamic of it. So, okay, I like your argument there, Petey. Okay, the Stadium Series is coming up to Colorado. They're going to play at, is it Air Force there? In Colorado, the game's going to be outdoors, so I'm asking you this or that. Which one is the better Stadium Series jersey, the LA Kings or the Colorado Avalanche? This or that? And we're going to show them on the TV side of MSG right now. But if you haven't seen it, you just Google it in Stadium Series LA, Colorado, and you'll see both jerseys. Which one has the better one?
They're both amazing. I really love
goodness,
the LA.
You really said that?
I love the LA one. And, I know it's plain, but I like it. I do like it. I don't want to see it all the time.
I was going to say they're both awful.
Yeah, that's okay, too. Okay. And the Avalanche one. I mean, I like it.
I think they're both pretty cool. If I had to pick one, I would definitely go with the Colorado Avalanche.
I would take the LA one. I don't mind the LA one, actually.
If I have to pick one, I would take LA. I think the Colorado Avalanche looks a badly drawn, abominable snowman. Is that how you say it? Like, I don't know what they're trying to do. An A with the Rockies, but it looks like it looks like Mike Lazowski in Monsters, Inc. if he was a snowman with one eye. Like, I don't know. Can you see where I'm going with that, PD?
I am going somewhere totally different, but anyway, moving on.
Okay.
LA.
LA. Okay, good. This is really not for me, but I know a lot of people out there are obviously going to relate to this, but after school TV, so you come home from school, you rush. I used to rush home and watch French TV, so I didn't watch any of these shows, but I want to know your opinion here. After school TV, did you watch The A-Team or MacGyver? Coming home from school, turn on the TV, do your homework. What did you watch? The A-Team or MacGyver? This or that?
It's not a this or that. It was both. We talked about the A-Team yesterday. The whole group in the back, we were going, da-na-na-na-na-na, because it was like 37 years ago yesterday.
Maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Yes. This is Mr. T, Murdoch, the whole squad, both of them. But honestly, though, MacGyver, is there a more impressive human being on the planet? Like, the guy can make a bomb from a toothpick. And a Coca-Cola.
And dental floss
and one match. And like all of a sudden he can literally take down any enemy by himself. So I got to say both. Watch them both.
Okay. Rivs, this or that? The A-Team or MacGyver?
I'm definitely going to go. I wasn't on the MacGyver train. I enjoyed the A-Team. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Three's Company.
Three's Company.
And there was another one in
there. Who's your favorite in Three's Company?
Who's the old landlord?
Jack.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I'm asking a question. I didn't watch these shows. I didn't grow up on those shows. So I'm asking you. I want to know.
What were you watching?
When I came home, I watched Passepartout. I watched La Petite Vie. I watched all these shows. You have no idea.
Did you guys ever watch Doctor Who?
I watched Lance Count. You know what Lance Count is, PD.
I have no idea. I don't even know what the hell that means.
It was a whole TV nighttime drama, an hour a week. It was basically set that it was called the Quebec Nationals, but they were the Quebec Nordiques. And the off-ice drama, the lead guy was Pierre Lambert. He shoots, he scores.
I watched that too.
Yeah, okay. So then it's like the dynamic guys on the road and the parties and the young guy coming in and the veteran that's losing ice time.
I remember that's what made me want me to be a hockey player.
Exactly. So that's what I watch. I didn't watch the Three's Company or whatever it is. So unfortunately, I must have missed out on that.
Yeah.
So
what was that show called again? Les Incompetents?
Lance et Count. Les Incompetents. You know what that means, right? The incompetence.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's from the movie Home Alone, remember? Kevin, you're what the French call Les Incompetents.
Oh, I have no idea. You just lost me at Les Incompetents. So that's the way it is. Okay, and let's...
Man.
What?
You're literally like Rain Man of movie quotes. I don't understand how you can take in all this information.
There's more information
all right,
Marty
let's
has
go.
To...
Far away.
Okay, where should I go here? Okay, this is pretty cool. This Canisius basketball player went viral when his free throw routine included a sidestep dribble, between the leg dribble, and then he settles himself down to take the shot. So I'm asking you this. You would be taking a free throw, and actually it's not even between the legs. It's behind the back dribble and the shot, and he makes both free throws. What's the better free throw routine? The dribble has this kid does, or just the normal, we'll just say with the normal dribble, some guys dribble like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they go. Or you have the ball in your hand, and you take the deep breath, and then you get ready and go for the free throw shot. So I'm asking you this or that, dribble or the deep breath?
Not that. I mean, he's obviously a very skilled basketball player, but not that.
If you're going to do it, this gentleman, and I don't have his name, I'm so sorry, and I would love to be able to give him credit, but, you know, you can just go online and SportsCenter, you know, ESPN SportsCenter basically had him on their Twitter account. What happened?
I just texted my brother. He's at school right now teaching kids, but he took some time out to tell me, Gilligan's Island.
Squirrel.
No. No. Did you guys not watch Gilligan's Island?
Of course we did.
Okay.
Who didn't?
Squirrel. That's listen, he got back to me. He's going back to teaching the kids. But Gilligan's Island was another one. Gilligan's Island came on right after Three's Company.
And then
the A-Team came off on after that.
Okay.
Okay. What were we talking about?
I think we missed it. Now we were talking about dribbling and free throws and taking a deep breath.
Listen, but this was.
So let me see. This is your
a
brother.
Pretty advanced.
Does your brother listen to the show and stepped out of class just to tweet to text you, or did you text him something and then he responded to you?
I think that my brother wears ear buds.
Okay.
And teaches. And
where is he? Is he in North Bay?
Yep.
So he teaches in North Bay, but he keeps like one.
He keeps the buds in.
Listen to the show,
and they're in all the time. So
what's his name?
When I need him, he gets back to me right away.
What's his name?
Scott.
Scott. Yeah. What school?
He's at.
Let's not get him in any trouble.
At West Ferris, I think.
Okay, well, Scott, we're glad you're listening, and hopefully, what does he teach?
I don't know.
He's your brother.
You don't know what he teaches.
He was a, he majored
in. He's a homeroom teacher.
He majored in history.
Okay.
So he might teach history. It's a good chance at that.
I don't think he teaches
elementary
history.
School or high school? Scott, just, you may want to text your brother, Craig, over here and tell him exactly what school, what subject you teach, what age or grade you teach, because, our old buddy Rivs here doesn't really know. So anyway, but listen, two things. One, the Avalanche jersey, as John here on Twitter just tweeted at us, says it's to represent Air Force Academy Chapel. So that's why it's the A that way and it looks that way. It
looks good.
You know what? I can dig it now. I can see why they would want to represent
what they're doing,
that.
Right.
So I totally appreciate
that. Can I give you my thoughts on the free throw?
Yes.
Okay. What I did as a young buck, because I came in second in our free throw at school, I got beat by this girl named Kirsten Lancaster. I'm still scarred. She drained all 20 shots. But anyway, I used the Michael Jordan. It's the 1-2-3 bounce. Flip the ball up, let it skid in your hand. Flip the ball up, let it skid in your hand. 1-2-3, shoot.
Swish.
Swish.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, maybe we'll ask Darren Dreger what's his free throw routine, because Dregs is a man of many sports. So we're going to take a short break here. Darren Dreger, TSN Insider, will be right up with us on MSG and WGR 550 when we come back on The Instigators.
You ever heard of that?
Live from the Seneca Studio, this is The Instigators.
Morning, Dregs.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Darren Dreger joining us, TSN Hockey Insider, here on The Instigators every Friday at 11:30. So I asked you to stop singing at the break there because you were absolutely in perfect tune. And I would just like, well, Craig never really says anything when you come on. He just, he sits back and he listens. So I'm going to have Craig kind of start this one off. You guys want to start that song you were just singing? Go ahead. Ready?
No.
On three.
Yes, you're good.
Two.
I don't even know how to start it.
One.
Step right up.
Come on. No. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip that started on this something, something.
For this tiny ship.
A three-hour tour.
That actually sounded a little bit like.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Babcock was singing it.
Yeah, that could have been a Babcock.
You threw a little Babcock in there.
That's just good. Sit right back and you hear a tale of the faithful trip.
He's on an island somewhere. There's no question. He's just not stranded.
I know which island he's on, but I'm not going to tell you. But you're right. He is on an island.
Oh, wow.
Well, I was talking to him today. I'm just joking. No, I wasn't. No, gosh. No.
Drake's talking about island, and this is not in the things that we mentioned we were going to talk about. What do you make of, like, Alain Vigneault and some of the coaches that after the game and they win a game and the media is asking them, so what do you think, the bye week, is it coming at a good time, whatever? He says, you know what, I don't want to answer any questions about it right now. I just want a martini in my hand. I just am looking forward to my flight out. Like, not just the players are liking this. Like, the coaches are looking forward to that bye week as well, right?
Yeah, many of them. And Vigneault is probably right near the top of the list. Yeah, I Alain Vigneault and Joel Quenneville, I mean, hardworking coaches, no question about that. But talk about guys who know how to embrace their downtime. And by downtime, I mean when they're on the outside looking in, they're not coaching, they're between coaching jobs. Those guys find nice spots in Florida. They golf, they go fishing, they cruise around on their boats. In this case, with Vigneault, it was a pontoon boat.
Gets back,
has a cigar, probably a martini or two, as he admitted to. And then the red wine comes out, and they live life. So I don't begrudge these guys. Why shouldn't they? I mean, the general managers don't have the same luxury. These guys are holed up in their offices, or maybe some of them go to their vacation properties and whatnot. But they're hard at it. They're grinding it out, but not the coaches. Most of them are having some fun.
Do you ever think the NHL at some point in time will ever go to a point in the season where there's one full week off? So what I mean by that is, you know, the All-Star players go to the All-Star break. You're there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Do you ever think that the NHL will come up with something where they'll give the entire league a full week off, meaning Friday to the next Friday? So those All-Star players will have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to kind of enjoy?
No, I don't, Rev. And the reason I say that is, you know, the schedule is so condensed already just to invent space so that you've got the bye week. And I also think that, look, not to switch this over into an Olympic conversation or the international calendar, but that's one of the big reasons why, you know, the National Hockey League head office is opposed to re-entering the Olympic scene. And it's because of how disruptive it is to the schedule. And they don't like the idea of stopping the momentum of the National Hockey League, particularly at that point of the regular season. So to think that the league would automatically shut down for a week, 5 days, whatever, you know, just to give those all-star players the same luxury, the same opportunity to recharge and reset. I don't think from a marketing aspect, the National Hockey League would consider it.
All right. Darren Dreger joining us here on the Instigators. Let's, you're the insider, so I hate to do this to you. You know, every day you come on, we have to ask you the question. Any news out there on the Sabre trades?
No, not necessarily, but I would invite you to, if you guys haven't checked out The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, our colleague, did a masterful job of, can you hear that? Who has landlines anymore, particularly in their office? My landline is going off right beside my face.
Can you answer it? Because it's obviously someone important.
No, I'm not answering it. I don't care who it is.
Somebody's selling you. It's a telemarketer selling you something good.
As I explained, Pierre LeBrun literally wrote like a 9,000-word column taking you through every team in the National Hockey League, where their position is in terms of what they might do between now and the trade deadline, and obviously the Buffalo Sabres included in that. And collectively, we've kind of worked on this, and it's very interesting in terms of what we as insiders believe Jason Botterill and the Buffalo Sabres are willing to consider. Now, there's a stretch of games coming up after the break that are going to be crucial to the future here, the immediate future, and potentially the trading future of Botterill and the Buffalo Sabres. How many home games do they have? I think it's, isn't it 9 or 10 home games?
9 of the next 10, yeah.
Yeah, between now and the, or coming out of the break and then February 24th. So what isn't news is the fact that Botterill, of course, is still trying to find help up front. And the hope is that, you know, Jeff Skinner will be back in the lineup in the not-too-distant future, not far after the break. But he still wants to add after that. And what was interesting to me, you guys haven't asked me about Ristolainen in a long, long time. And in the column that LeBrun wrote for The Athletic and posted earlier today, Ristolainen's name is in there as a possibility, yet again, that he could be traded. We talked a lot about this, you know, prior to the start of the season. And the rumors around Ristolainen were literally endless. But it's an interesting name to throw into the mix now. And I'm going to qualify it, similarly to what Pierre LeBrun did. I think Jason Botterill is willing to consider trading Ristolainen. I do, but it's almost the same positioning as it was prior to the start of the season, in that if you're a general manager with interest in Ristolainen, no problem. But you better make a hell of an offer. Otherwise, I'm not going to disrupt my roster. I'm not going to take out a big piece of my blue line. So don't bore me with nonsense offers. Come willing and able to make a sweetheart hockey deal. And if you're able, then let's start talking. So that for me was interesting. The rest of it are the usual suspects and the potential of what Botterill might do up front.
Dregs, last year St. Louis went 9-1-1 in the month of February. It really set them up, right? So they made a push and, you know, then they, you know, went from last to winning the Stanley Cup. The Sabres are 10 points out of a playoff spot. They're 10 points behind Carolina, the second wild card. They're 10 points behind Florida, who's third in the Atlantic right now. How far in the month of February do you think GMs, and in this case Jason Botterill, make the decision if they're going to be sellers or if they're going to make a push for a playoff spot? Do they have to be within a certain amount of points a week before trade deadline to be able to assess that decision?
No, I mean, it's been assessed now, but, you know, there are two differing positions here. One is the internal position of the general manager and the club in general. And by internal, I'm talking about within that management office, because they're still trying to sell hope to their group. It's too early in the season to tell your dressing room that, look, we're out of it and we're going to cut bait. We're going to start moving bodies and we're going to continue to stockpile our draft cupboard here. But that's the reality of the situation. We just saw the graphic up there, and the Montreal Canadiens are in the same situation the Buffalo Sabres are in. And not unlike the Sabres, Montreal is getting healthy with Drouin coming back and Brendan Gallagher coming back into the mix. So the message that these teams want to deliver to their players, to their staff, and to their fan base is, look, we don't believe we're out of it, but we also recognize that we're real close to being out of it. But I think internally they know that they're out of it. And so I'm sure Botterill's having multiple conversations a day, certainly a week, with other general managers, likewise in Montreal. And there's some pieces on both teams that are definitely in play. So I think hockey fans in Buffalo and certainly in Montreal are knowledgeable hockey fans. You can look at the standings, and even though you use the St. Louis Blues as the barometer or the measuring stick a year ago, how often does that happen? It happens almost never. So what these organizations are probably doing now, more so externally, is selling hope.
I'm looking at the TSN trade bait. We're joined right now with Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. Who is the first player on this trade bait list that you think is traded this year, if we even see another trade this year?
Yeah, I mean, if is a big word. There's no question about that. I campaigned with Frank Saravalli to put Ilya Kovalchuk higher on the list. In fact, I thought he should be number one. And that's no disrespect to Chris Kreider. It's just, for me, it's more interesting to talk about Ilya Kovalchuk, given how this guy was pulled off the scrap heap and signed by the Montreal Canadiens for the league minimum of $700,000. And he's been a perfect fit because of the opportunity there. And look, I mean, Mark Bergevin is likely going to get, what, a third-round pick, maybe even a second-round pick for Ilya Kovalchuk based on a depth acquisition. Now, Chris Kreider is at the top of the trade bait list, and we've been talking about Chris Kreider for weeks. And, you know, I mean, in fact, you can go back to last year's trade deadline. We talked about Chris Kreider. So there's some interesting names on there. There's some interesting names that aren't on that list. Matt Dumba, the Minnesota Wild, his name isn't on that list. It should be on that list, and it probably will be next week, because I think Billy Guerin is in the market to shake things up, and he wants to make a couple of trades. The Ottawa Senators, well represented on this board, but you could put other names on there for sure. You know, Mark Borowiecki, when we talk about depth defensemen, and pretty much every playoff contending team is looking for depth defensemen. I mean, he'd be a perfect fit given his salary and the fact that he's a rental player. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see as to whether or not Pierre Dorion wants to put a very popular player like Mark Borowiecki on that list. Dylan DeMello is another one. So when you get to this point in the season, normally it's a real tall ask of Frank Saravalli to put this list together early in the season because it's so early and you're just openly speculating. Now, today, that list could probably be 30, maybe 40 names deep based on everything that's being discussed around the league.
Can you tell me what's happening with Alex Galchenyuk? What is going on with his game in Pittsburgh? And, you know, where's the future for this player moving forward? He's an unrestricted free agent. He's already making upwards of, what, almost $5 million?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with him in his game?
Well, I mean, it's not very good. Who's getting who? And I think that's pretty obvious. And, you know, Jimmy Rutherford and the Pittsburgh Penguins have been incredibly patient. They played him up in the lineup. They played him down in the lineup, just trying to light a spark under this player because, you know, he should be a productive piece within that Pittsburgh Penguins grouping. But you know what happens with some players when they land in Pittsburgh, guys, is automatically they see, you know, the lure of playing with Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin. And then when they don't end up playing with those players, they get frustrated. They want out of Pittsburgh. I think that both sides have done a nice job of keeping this process amicable. We know that Rutherford would trade Alex Galchenyuk. There's no doubt of that. As for what his future is in the National Hockey League, I think that there's always going to be general managers, especially when it comes with skilled players who are willing to take a risk, but not at $4.9 million. So if Rutherford is successful in moving Galchenyuk out, he's probably going to have to take a contract back that he's not going to love. And then after that, it's going to be up to Alex Galchenyuk. You know, if he has a good finish to the regular season, if he gets traded, and he's on a playoff team and has a good playoff, well, he's going to get signed. But whatever that contract is moving forward, it's not going to be $5 million a year, and it's going to be on a relatively short term.
Speaking of relatively short term and short fuse, you had John Tortorella on your show the other day there, huh? And he basically told you, he's, quote, "I'm not good at releasing the emotion." How was that conversation? Well, you know him well.
I know him pretty well. We worked together at TSN when he was unemployed, and he spent some time on the panel back then. And I, obviously knew him and dealt with him prior to that as a coach in the NHL. I'm not going to lie to you guys. When we had him on the Rain Drakes Hockey Podcast, I warned Ray prior to starting the record of that interview. Look, this could go any which way. Because even though I would call him a friend of the podcast, because he has a good relationship with me and with Ray, when Tortorella is in hockey mode, and that's basically from August to whenever the season ends, man, he's focused. And I said to Ray, let's be ready when we try and shift gears to talking about his life away from the rink, you know, the dogs, the horses, all of that stuff, even the conversations that we had about his sweater and you know, the choice of his sweaters and all of that. And then clearly talking about how he doesn't like doing the post games for the media and whatnot. I said, don't be surprised if Torts literally says, guys, I'm here to talk about the hockey, and that's all. I'm not going to waste my time with all the bull, you know what. That doesn't matter to me. But no, he took the bait. What happened, though, that helped, I think, was my dog Tiny, the Ray and Dregs hockey podcast mascot, who's a Great Dane, she was in the other side of the house, and she's barked on the instigators before.
Yep.
She let out a series of barks. About 7-8 minutes into the interview with Tortorella, and we know he's a dog lover, and that instantly shifted gears for him. Because, hey, Drakes, is that your dog? Whose dog is that? And then that gave us the perfect segue to get over to the lighter side of the John Tortorella world.
You should have told him. Ace Ventura once said, dogs do sense evil. Anyway, Drakes, thank you very much for coming on. If you haven't heard that, go check it out. It's the Ray and Drakes podcast. It's National Compliment Day, so good job. I guess I got to say that. And thanks for your time today, Drakes, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, gave us the thumbs up.
I have a John Tortorella dog story when we come back.
Save it because we have our buy-sell trade, and we'll talk about Marty's dog story when we come back. A lot of dogs. They're really pushing dogs on the players to look cute these days.
They are. Hey? Puppies. I mean, you can't go wrong with puppies.
All right. We're out of here for break. We'll be right back. Final segment for the week.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. Quickly, buy, sell, or trade.
Buy.
David will be the fastest skater in this year's.
Buy.
Sell.
Buy.
Jack
buy.
Eichel.
Buy and bye-bye. Have a great week.
Jack's
One Bills
going
Live
for
is
it.
Next.
Come on, Jackie boy.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.